Do you believe that He's steadfast and unmovable? Do you believe that He's in control? Do you believe that He's all-powerful? Do you believe that He's sovereign? There is nothing that's too hard for Him. That song just stated, this is what we believe, and because that's who You are, we're going to give You great and mighty praise. Would you do that again right now, however you want to do it? Hallelujah. There is none that can compare to our God. There is none that's equal, and there is none that is higher. He is the Almighty God, and I'm glad that I know Him by name. I'm glad that I have a personal relationship with Him. Are you thankful for that today? Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank God for His Spirit that we feel so strongly in this place here tonight. I don't ever want to take for granted the Spirit and the power of God that we come in contact with. Amen. If you have your Bibles, Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37 and verse 6, and then I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 45. I'm going to preach on the heels of what Pastor preached this morning, and I believe that God is going to speak into somebody's life through His Word. Genesis chapter 37 and verse 6. And Joseph said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheep. And his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him, yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Skip down all the way to chapter 45. His brethren come to him, and after all of this has transpired in his life, and we'll talk about that tonight. And Joseph said to his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. They came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you. God did this. Said, for those 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. Here it is again. And God sent me before you to preserve you and the posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Verse 8. So I want to be clear about this. He says, it was not you that sent me here, but God sent me here. And he hath made me father to Pharaoh and the Lord of all his house and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. One more verse of scripture, Romans 8 and 28. This is the banner verse for my life this year. This is the verse that I have held on to more than any other verse in scripture this year. It says, and we know that all things, not some of the things, not certain things. He said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. And tonight I want to preach on this title, The Process to the Promise. The Process to the Promise. Would you lift your hands and would you ask God to open your heart that you might receive from Him? Lord, I thank You for the powerful anointed word that You have given to us. I pray tonight that Your word would go forth and that our hearts would be open. Open my heart tonight, God, to receive what Your word is saying to me. I want to be sensitive to Your Spirit. Give me faith to receive, God, tonight. Give us a revelation of Your word that we've never seen before. And we thank You, God, for Your word. Would you clap your hands one more time before you're seated and thank Him? Lord, we thank You tonight for Your word and the power of Your word. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. You may be seated. Chance is a word in our English language that is used probably daily by each of us, maybe. Chance, according to the dictionary, is the occurrence and development of events in the absence of any obvious design. Synonyms of this word is accident or accidental or coincidence. People that you and I know, and perhaps you and I maybe even attribute things that happened to us, have happened by chance. Of the people in this room, on a daily basis, there are things that happen in your life that are incredible, that are magnificent, that are blessings from God, that could only come from God. And then there are times when circumstances come our way. Sickness comes our way. Loss comes our way. Pain comes our way. Defeat meets us where we are at. And we are forced to ask or state the question, did that happen to me by chance? Some people wonder, was that their lucky stars, or what do my lucky stars have in store for me? They have total dependence on fate. They feel like their life is predestined to turn out a certain way. A lot of people that I have met do not believe that God gets into the details of our life. So people live day by day on the idea that whatever happens, happens. Be it good luck or be it bad luck, it is just life that happens. Things are just going to happen and no one can control what happens. However, when things get really bad, people get angered and say, why does this have to happen to me? Everything in my life is going wrong, and is it all by simply chance? Chance, again, is the occurrence and development of events, watch this, in the absence of any obvious design. And because people think that there is no design or control in their life, they begin to think and act in unimaginable ways. Suicide is a result of people who live day by day thinking that their life simply does not have any obvious design. They are living like their life is just a big question mark and chance. The Bible talks about a man named Job. I shared this with the Bible class a month or so ago. The Bible describes Job as an upright man, one that fears God and shuns evil. He was one of the richest men of his time, and the Bible tells us that he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And the Bible describes Satan as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And it tells us that Satan got an audience with the Almighty God, and God asked him, what have you been doing? And he said, well, I've been walking to and fro on the earth. Basically, I've been looking for somebody's life to mess with. I've been looking for somebody's life to destroy. The Bible says that the thief comes but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. So God said, I really do, I wish I could have been there. I think it really threw him for a loop that day. Because God said, have you considered my servant Job? He's throwing names out at the devil. He said, what are you doing, devil? I'm walking to and fro on the earth trying to destroy somebody, trying to mess with somebody. Have you considered my servant Job? He's an upright man. He fears me, shuns evil. Satan said, oh yeah, I've considered him. But every time I went to mess with him, every time I went to destroy his family, every time I tried to take something from him, there was a hedge round about him and everything that he has, and I was not able to penetrate the hedge that you have put around him. That's pretty powerful. Satan said, surely if you will take down this hedge and let me put him through some fiery trials, let me put him through some tribulation, he will surely forsake you and curse you. And God willingly, he's the one who offered Job up. He said, all that he has is in your power, just I don't want you to kill him. This portion of scripture has given me great insight and revelation in my life as of late. First off, Job was a man that feared God. He reverenced God. He trusted God. He understood that God was in control. He understood that God was sovereign in his life, and he loved God. Next, Satan sought to destroy him already, but could not do it because there was a hedge around him and his family and all that he had. In order for Satan to touch Job, he had to get the permission of Almighty God first. That is something that is very powerful for you and I. Because Job had placed God in control of his life and was subject to God, there was no way that the enemy was going to come in and do anything to Job unless God gave him permission first. You see, when you place God in control of your life, nothing can happen to you unless God allows it to happen to you. Listen to me, mom and dad. Do not stop praying a hedge of protection around your family, around your kids, around your grandkids, because it still works. So this brings the question up, preacher, does that mean that God allows sickness or loss or trials or tribulations to happen to me? Does God allow that? Let's find out in the Word of God. Satan, I have taken down the hedge, and whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it. Bible says the oxen were plowing, asses were feeding, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took and killed all the servants. While he was speaking, fire from heaven fell down and burned up the sheep and the servants. And while he was speaking, the Chaldeans took the camels and have slain your servants, Job. And while he was speaking, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon them, and they are dead. Within just minutes of time, while one servant was speaking, the other was coming, telling Job that pretty much everything that you have, everything that you love, everything that you hold dear is gone, just like that. Can you see Job sitting around and saying, I can't believe all this happened to me. Did this all just happen by chance? Can you see Job saying, well, was this bad luck? Did I not have good luck today? No, Job didn't say that. You want to know Job's response to the tribulation and the fire that just happened in his life? He said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. He said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Watch this. This is important. He said, the Lord giveth. That's a key verse. All the blessings that I have in my life are not by chance, but God has given them to me. My family, my servants, my animals, I didn't get them out of my own success. He said, God gave those to me. The Lord gave those to me. And then he said, the Lord hath taken away. The bad things that just happened to me were not by chance. I may have just lost everything that I have, everything that I love, and everything that I hold dear, but it didn't happen to me by chance. God was involved in that. He said the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away, but I still have to give him blessing and honor and glory because he's still worthy of it. Oh, I wish somebody could grab a hold of what I'm preaching to you tonight. Job was at a place in his life that I am so desperate to be. Job's trust was in his God. Job's faith was in his God. Job recognized God as sovereign. Job said in this one verse, everything that has ever happened to me, be it good or be it bad, is a result of you, God, in my life. Job was saying, God, you are sovereign to me. You have all authority. You are all in control. You are in control of everything. And then he said, your ways are not my ways, and your thoughts may not be my thoughts, but I'm still going to trust you, and I'm still going to lean on you, because because my faith is in my God. Job, interesting enough, in this portion of Scripture was saying, nothing in my life, good or bad, blessing or cursing, has happened to me by chance, but God has been in every single detail of my life. Watch this. Satan goes back to God and he says, well, I took everything from him, but he didn't curse you this time. Let me try again. He said, surely a man's health is everything to him. He said, you let me touch his body, and surely he will forsake you, and surely he will curse you. And you know the story. He touched him, had the boils all over him, and his wife looks at him, and Job chapter 2 and 9, this is the New Living, and he said, his wife said to him, are you still going to maintain your integrity? Why don't you curse God and die? But Job replied, you talk like a foolish woman. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never have anything bad? The Bible says, so in all of this, Job sinned not. We have got to get in our place, church, that our life is completely submitted to the hand and to the will of God. Where God is sovereign in our life. God, you are all powerful. God, you are in control of my life. Everything I have is from you, be it blessing or be it cursing. My life is in your hand because I stand upon the word of God, and it says that all things work together for good to them that love God. I can't explain all the things that happen in my life. I can't explain all the things that are happening in my family. I can't put my finger on it and say, God, you're working this for the good, or I see why you're doing this, God, or yeah, go ahead and keep pushing a little farther, God. I know what you're doing. A lot of times we're sitting with our hands in the air saying, God, I don't know why this is happening. God, I don't understand why this is going on in my life. It could be a blessing or it could be things that are going wrong in my life. I don't understand all this, but one thing I know, it's not happening to me by chance because I have submitted my life to God. I have put Him as sovereign in my life. I have given Him control of my life. And God, whatever you see fit to do to me, I'm going to receive that because I know that down the road, I may not see it and I might not ever see it, but I know that you're working it together for good. I know, God, that you're working it together for good. Would you lift your hands right now? Would you say, God, I place you in control of my life. I trust you. My confidence is in you. My faith is in you. I'm going to share this. I wasn't going to because I didn't want to embarrass my dad, but I'm just going to say this, Dad. I don't understand everything that's happened to you. I can't put my finger on it. I don't think anybody in this building can put their finger on why this happened to him. We can't really see why. But can I tell you that his spiritual sensitivity has been higher than it's ever been since I've known him? I may not understand everything. I believe that God's going to heal him. But I know that in this season of his life and our family, that God is working something for the good. It may be a nurse or a doctor that's going to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ for their witness. It might be because he's speaking into somebody's life. It might be spiritual discernment. I don't understand the reason for the trial. But all we can do is say, God, you are sovereign. We trust you. And we know that all things are working together for the good according to your word. In our text, we read about a boy named Joseph. Joseph received a dream from God. Today, I'm going to call it a promise from God. Because as we heard this morning, the promises of God come in all forms and fashions. The definition of a promise is a declaration or assurance that one will do a particular thing or that a particular thing will happen. Whether God gives you a dream, whether he speaks to you audibly in your spirit or in his word. You can call it a promise from God because he cannot lie. And you can rest assured that if he gave it to you, he will perform it because God always stands true to his word. Hear me, somebody, today. I don't know what kind of promise you have. I don't know if you've picked up the word as Pastor preached today, or he's spoken to you or given you a vision or a dream, but you hold on to your promise and you do not let it go. Because if God said it, it shall happen. So Joseph has a God-given promise. Joseph was his father's favorite son. His dad made him a coat of many colors, and that made his brothers upset. Joseph started dreaming dreams. These dreams did not sit well, as you know, with his brothers, and his brothers hated him because he was basically saying in this dream that he was going to be exalted above them. The Bible says that they were jealous of him because he was his father's favorite. And then when he brought this dream to them, the Bible says that they hated him even the more. So they took him away from his father and they threw him in a pit. And while he was sitting in the pit, you know, the people that came by, they sold him into slavery. And that was the beginning of the process to the promise. God had just given him a promise. God had just given him a dream. God has just said, this is what's going to happen in your life. And now everything's looking crazy all around him. He's getting sold into slavery. And that was the start and the beginning of the process to the promise. Pastor said this morning that sometimes God dates his promises. I love that. This doesn't make the promise any less valuable. This doesn't make the promise any less true. It just means that there is going to be a process before the promise is fulfilled. And there are people in here today that God has given you a promise, a direct word, a vision. I've come to affirm you and the Holy Ghost, and I've come to affirm the word that was preached this morning, that God has given you a promise. Don't shrug it off and say, well, I don't know, I'm not sure. You hold on to that promise. Hold on to that promise that God's given you, because it shall come to pass. Don't give up on your promise. Don't look at it as, I don't know if it was. Hold on to that promise. Grab a hold on it. And then while you're going through the process to the promise, keep your eyes and your attention on the promise giver. That is key, because so many times we can get a promise from God, and then our eyes start to wondering and our minds start to wondering. I think that may be human, but the key is to keep our attention and our thoughts on the promise giver, because if we'll do that, it will be constantly in our mind and we'll be ready to receive the promise that God has promised us. Watch this process. After Joseph was thrown into a pit and sold into slavery, he was sold as a slave into Potiphar's house. Here we go. He's sold into slavery, and now he's sold. He was his daddy's favorite. He has a promise from God, and now he's sold into some man's house as a slave. Potiphar saw that God was with him, and that everything he did prospered. So he put him in charge of everything that he had. Not everything is bad in the process to the promise. It may be all good. It may be a mixture. But at this point in time and the process, God is elevating Joseph a little bit. God is blessing Joseph a little bit. And the man that he's serving is seeing that elevation that God's doing. He's seeing the prosperous hand. And he says, you know what? I'm going to put Joseph in charge of everything that I have. He was promoted. He was exalted above the other servants. He could see that God was blessing him. It wasn't the ideal situation. No. He was still a slave. but there was a blessing and a promotion, and there was still something there that says, hey, God is still with me. He's still working with me. In your process, there are going to be little times in your life that you're going to be able to see, hey, God is with me. Hey, God has touched this. Hey, God has done. Don't overlook the small things, because God is in the details. One day, Potiphar's wife tempted him to sleep with her, but he wouldn't do it. So she lied on him, and Potiphar had him thrown into prison. Here he goes. He's exalted, and now he's thrown into prison. Joseph sat rotting in prison. He went from daddy's favorite to being thrown into a pit, to being a slave, then to an overseer of Potiphar's house. And now he's a prisoner. I can only imagine the thoughts that were going through his mind as he sat in that prison. If only I hadn't had that dream. If only Dad wouldn't have loved me that much. If only I would have just sinned with Potiphar's wife, I probably wouldn't be where I'm at right now. I mean, come on. The guy ran and fled from sin, and he still ended up in prison. He evidently loved and feared God, or he would have gave in to that temptation. His life is in shambles, but he has a God-given dream. He has a God-given destiny, and he has a God-given promise. He is in a God-ordained season in his life. Hear me, somebody. I felt this when I was praying this afternoon. When I wrote that down, the Holy Ghost grabbed a hold of me and said, there are people that are in God-ordained seasons right now in your life. He was in a God-ordained season. The things that are taking place in your life, be it good or be it bad, are not because of fate. They're not because of your lucky stars. They're not because of life. But God has you in a God-ordained season, and he is working in your midst right now. He's working. You might not be able to see it. You might not be able to see all the details that are taking place, but you rest assured that God is with you. His word says he'll never leave you nor forsake you. It doesn't matter what you're going through or how much you've sinned or where you're at in life. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's his word. Joseph is in prison, and then God promoted him. He ended up interpreting Pharaoh's dream, and Pharaoh put him in charge, as there was no one higher but Pharaoh himself. You know the story of famine hit the land as his interpretation predicted, and his brothers came to Egypt for food. Genesis 45 and 5. Brothers come into him. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. He said, for God did send me before you to preserve your life. Verse 7, God sent me before you to preserve you a great prosperity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Verse 8, here, I love this. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh. The situation looked bleak. He was in prison, Brad. He had all kinds of horrible things that happened to him. He was sold into slavery. And when his brothers walked in, he could have easily said, you are the reason that I have suffered for the last 22 years. You are the reason that I have gone through this tribulation and this hell for the last 22 years. It is because of you that I have had to suffer like I've had to suffer. But there was something inside of Joseph that said, I'm not going to blame you for this. You had nothing to do with this, actually. But God has been in every detail of my life. God has been in every single detail of my life. So don't you worry, and don't be dismayed. I'm not mad at you. God has put me right here. Notice, when he came out on top, he didn't blame himself. He didn't blame his brothers. He didn't blame Potiphar's wife. He said, it wasn't none of you that put me here, but God put me here. He said, I wasn't a slave because of you. I wasn't a prisoner because of you. And I sure am not the governor because of you. God has put me right where he wanted me. God put me here. Listen, Joseph was in a God-ordained season in his life. God was in the details. God was working in that situation. God gave him a promise. Verse chapter 50 and verse 20. Here he goes again. He said, but as for you, you thought evil against me. You thought you were being evil to me. He said, but God, watch how that scripture goes hand in hand with Romans. He said, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. God meant it unto good. We know that all things work together, Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Abraham, as we heard this morning, had a promise. And it took 25 years for that promise to be fulfilled. Joseph was given a promise when he was a young boy, 17 years old. And it took 22 years for that promise to come to pass. It was a process. It didn't make sense. But he understood that God was in it all. He understood that God was in it all. This last year has been a trial of sorts for my family. We've gone through more things than I even care to mention. Some things you know and some things you don't. And this is what I know, that I am not the only one that is in that position. But there are people all over this congregation that have gone through things in your life. I just have to believe that we are in a process to receive the promise that God has given to us. I just have to believe that we're in a God-ordained season, that God is working and moving and doing things behind the scenes. Would you stand with me? Isaiah chapter 55 and 8 says this. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are my ways, saith the Lord. My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. It'd be easier if we thought the same way. It'd be easier if our processes were the same. It'd be easier if our ways worked hand in hand. Because, God, if you do it like this, it'll work out. God, if this happens and this happens and this happens, done deal. Everything's great. But then where would faith be? See, our faith is in a God who loves us. Our faith is in a God who cares for us. Our faith is in a God that we believe has our best interest in mind. And so like Job said, in the good and in the bad. I know I've kind of talked about the bad. I really don't want to focus on that. But in the good and in the bad, I'm going to bless your name. I'm going to bless your name. I wonder, would you close your eyes right now? Would you just lift your hands and would you just talk to the Lord? I'm going to open this altar right now for everybody that wants to come up. And what you're doing as you're making your way up, as you're stepping out and you're coming up and lifting your hands, what you're saying is, God, my trust is in you. My hope and my confidence is in you today. If you have a promise from God, God, keep me during this process. Hallelujah. Would you come and would you lift your hands and would you call out to God right now?